The Will Cain Show podcast is presented by Eno, the Capital One assistant. What's in your wallet?
This is the Will Cain podcast on ESPN Radio.
Two of the best quarterbacks in the NFL.
Strike that.
Two of the best quarterbacks of all time. Switch teams this offseason. Which one will have a bigger impact on the outcome of their team in 2020? Will it be Tom Brady, or will it be Philip Rivers? It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. And you can join the conversation at 888-729-3776. Coming up on today's show, I have told you for weeks now that the return of sports boils down to two words, two concepts, two ideas, and it gets really simple. Money and intolerance. More and more as news trickles out day after day, that opinion is proving true. Intolerance mounts and money becomes more important. And we're going to be looking at not just the return of sports across the land from the NBA to college football, but most likely fans in the stands as well. That's coming up a little bit later on the Will Cain Show, as is, who are the top five NBA players of all time? I know. Will, we've done that. Will, are we doing LeBron again? But this time it's different, because this time the world has a villain. This time the world has somebody to point at and yell, hypocrite. This time somebody has somebody to point at and say, you are the bad guy. And they've done it before. No, it's not me. Believe it or not, it's not me this time. It's Paul Pierce. Because Paul Pierce had the nerve to say these were his top five players of all time.
Want to hear my top five? You want to hear it again? Jordan.
Sure, let me know.
Kareem. Russell. And you know who the fourth one is? Magic.
Who's the fifth?
And now you know who's in my top five?
I'm not going to say nothing right now.
Kobe Bryant.
Come on.
Oh, that's my top five. Argue with it.
Argue with it, they have. Or rather, what they've done is not mount a serious comeback. They've pointed and they've laughed. They've pointed and they jeered. They've pointed and they've mocked. Why? You know why. Because LeBron James was not in Paul Pierce's top five. But was he wrong? That's coming up a little bit later here on the Will Cain Show, but it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Two of the greatest quarterbacks of all time have switched teams this offseason. Of course, everyone's paid attention to the fact that Tom Brady is now a Tampa Bay Buccaneer, and the photos are trickling out. There he is in his fudgesicle, new form, newfangled Tampa Bay Buccaneers uniform, the one that has become, I think, the first, second, third, fourth, I don't know. There's like seven of the top 10 selling jerseys in the NFL are Tom Brady number 12 Tampa Bay Buccaneers jerseys. In your color of choice, neon orange, pewter, I guess we're calling it, and other versions. But what you might have missed among all the jersey sales is that Philip Rivers, yes, also one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, switched teams this offseason. Philip Rivers is an Indianapolis Colt. So which quarterback will have a bigger impact on their team's success in 2020? 888-729-3776. Philip Rivers and Frank Reich, the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts, have a nice history together. This debate recently was put to the test on ESPN.com with various experts debating Brady or Rivers. And it was pointed out that the 3 years Rivers and Reich spent together, the stats looked like this: 13,000 yards passing, 92 touchdowns. Average that out, what you're looking at is about 30 touchdowns and 4,300 yards per season. Now, neither the Colts or Rivers have been living up to those lofty ideals recently. The Colts have a bottom 10 passing offense in a fancy DVOA metrics in the NFL. And Rivers has been a turnover machine. But this is a quarterback that I believe still has something left in the tank. This is a quarterback who still has years of productivity and success ahead of him. And this is a team that only needed a quarterback to be better. The Colts have had one of the best defenses in the NFL, one of the best offensive lines in the NFL. Their running attack is pretty impressive as well. And if Philip Rivers can step in and I think it's not a far stretch to say be better than Jacoby Brissett, the Colts could be going places this year. But let's not get this too complicated. Remember the other day I told you I was quarantining in Tennessee, hanging out close to the foothills of the Smoky Mountains, and I told you about this bird that was hanging out in my carport. He was up on this ledge looking out a window. He could see the trees, I'm telling you, like 20 yards away, but he kept flying into the window over and over. He'd land on the ledge, bang his head. I mean, you could almost hear his skull hitting the glass. And then every time it sounded like a deck of cards unfolding on a table, his wings, everything splaying up against the glass. He marked it all up. It's all scratched up. But I'm telling you, like a foot below the ledge that he was sitting on was free clearance. Big, huge opening. Fly right there and you go to the trees. I'm telling you, this went on for like 12 hours at a minimum. That's the part that I could see, because then we went to bed. It was nighttime. When we woke up the next morning, I'm telling you, this bummed me out. There he was on the floor of the carport, dead. Now try explaining that to your 9-year-old. Truthfully, if you ranked the 9-year-old, the 12-year-old, and me, I was the most bummed out about the end of this story. But the moral of the story isn't necessarily, hey, fly somewhere else than straight into the window, but sometimes you can make this overcomplicated. Sometimes, if you just realize you got to go backwards a little bit to go forwards, you can figure out some pretty simple or complicated problems. So let's not make this one too complicated. The answer is simple. Tom Brady will carry his team further than Philip Rivers this year. He'll have a greater impact on their success because of one simple metric: turnovers. Jameis Winston turned the ball over. Don't let 30 get stuck in your mind. That's simply the number of interceptions that Jameis Winston committed in 2019. The number to remember is 42, because that brings in the number of fumbles and interceptions that Jameis Winston committed in 2019. 42 turnovers. 2.5 a game. What kind of impact do you think that has on your wins and losses? What kind of impact do you think that has on the morale of your team? What kind of impact do you think that has on the outcome of your season? I don't know what you believe Tom Brady will do next year in Tampa Bay. I don't know if you believe he'll pass for 30 touchdowns or throw for 4,000 yards, but I think that you gotta believe he's not gonna turn the ball over 42 times. For a defense that's underrated and improving, having spent top 3-round draft picks all over that defense, defensive line, linebacker, safety, over the last 3 years, having just drafted Tristan Wirfs and Antoine Winfield, having an amazing set of weapons, perhaps the best in the NFL, you can take all of that, or you can just simply say, hey, will Tom Brady put his team behind the 8-ball 2.5 times per game? I think you and I both know the answer to that is no. And because of that, he'll have a bigger impact on the success of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers than Philip Rivers will have on the success of the Indianapolis Colts in 2020. And that's Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Ricky from Ohio, what's up, man? You're on the Will Cain Show.
Hey, how are you doing today?
I'm good, Ricky. What's up?
Hey, I just want to talk a little bit about your comment you made earlier about Philip Rivers being an all-time great, and I just have to disagree with you. If Tom Brady had the weapons that Philip Rivers did in San Diego, it would have been another dynasty like they had in New England. With Keenan Allen being a top wide receiver in the league, and Austin Eckler and Melvin Gordon emerging in the backfield, I mean, you can't argue that if Tom Brady was in Philip Rivers' shoes, he would have built another dynasty out in San Diego. So saying Philip Rivers is an all-time great, I just can't agree with that.
Okay, well, let me see if I can convince you. I appreciate the call. First of all, being an all-time great isn't a one-and-done proposition, meaning there's not just one and everybody else is done. Tom Brady and Philip Rivers can be all-time greats. I mean, don't get it twisted. Tom Brady is the greatest of all time. But Tom Brady didn't need Philip Rivers' weapons to build that dynasty. He was very capable of doing that in New England. Still, Philip Rivers is one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. He is a Hall of Famer. Well, not you want to believe it or not. And I'll tell you what. I've got a fascinating statistic I want to share with you a little bit later in the show. It's a fascinating measurement of the impact of quarterbacks over the last 20 years. And there is one name on this list that I think is the most disrespected quarterback of the last two decades. I'll give you a hint. It's not Philip Rivers. And he's still playing in the NFL. But he is the most disrespected quarterback in the league. That's coming a little bit later here on the Will Cain Show. But is Paul Pierce out of pocket for leaving LeBron James outside of his top five players in the NBA? In NBA history. That's coming up on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why we created Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for surprise credit card charges like overtipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud, then sends an alert to your phone and helps if you need to fix them. Another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
You got something to say to Will? Call the Will Cain Show now. 888-SAY-ESPN.
Zach from Las Vegas, you're not even going to let me have my wins, huh, Zach?
Will Cain, huge fan. I am unsure how the executive at ESPN let someone who is so unequivocally wrong all of the time host their own show on the air to feed lies to the American people about what is right and what is wrong when it comes to anything related to sports. In my opinion, I think you're a raging alcoholic and that you make really misinformed opinions.
Tell me more.
You clearly have a drinking problem.
I'm not even going to cut you off. I'm like, tell me more. What else? Tell me more of my problems.
I think that you might be addicted to opioids as well. Your eyes are pretty pinned on a regular basis.
People are wondering if Paul Pierce has been drinking too. Asking him what's in his cup. You know what Paul says to that, right? Truth juice. He left LeBron James out of his top five, and oh, are they upset. The Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. I asked who is going to have a bigger impact on their season. Which new quarterback to a new team? Philip Rivers as a Colt or Tom Brady as a Buck? And Josh in Ohio has his vote. Let's go ahead and cast it, Josh. Brady?
He's gone.
Or Rivers? Jake in California, you can answer the question.
Hey, long time, first time, appreciate it. Easy. It's Tom Brady. First of all, he's already breaking quarantine, breaking the rules, breaking into homes. He's got guys taking less money to come out and play with him. And not only that, he's got guys coming out of contracts with WWE, WrestleMania, giving up that, yes, millions of dollars to come play with him.
Yes, nothing can
contain Brady. He's got, what, seven of the top 10 jerseys already sold, thanks
yes,
to him?
I like this. Keep going, Jake.
It's easy. It's easy. When you, Tom Brady's willing to do anything, then what? ESPN just showed 2021. He's coming out with another nine series episode about him and his work
yes.
ethic.
Yes.
It's easy. It's easy.
It
Tom
is
Brady
easy.
All day. And I hate to admit it, being a longtime Raider fan, okay, watching his career thanks to Snow Job. But you know what? The man puts in work, puts in effort, puts in grind, willing to not eat tomatoes for that win. Come on now. I don't see Philip Rivers doing that.
Let me just recount the things, the case you just made for Tom Brady, Jake. I appreciate the call. Nothing can contain Tom Brady. Not tomatoes, not the Tuck rule, not a snowstorm, not a 10-part documentary series on Michael Jordan, not jersey sales, not a quarantine. Nothing, not even the neighbor's house, can contain Tom Brady. You're right. It's Brady over Rivers. Lance Armstrong's rise was among the most dramatic, inspirational, and popular stories in sports history. Then, his fall was remarkably absolute. Years later, his story remains as compelling as ever. And as for the man himself, he's not done talking. The latest 30 for 30, Lance, premieres with Part 1 this Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN. Part 1 will be available to stream on ESPN Plus immediately following the conclusion of the broadcast. Paul Pierce, on a digital version of NBA Countdown, was very excited to share with everyone his top five NBA players of all time. And this is what it sounded like.
You want to hear my top five? You want to hear it again? You want to hear it again? Jordan.
Sure, let me know.
Kareem. Russell. And you know who the fourth one is? Magic.
Who's the fifth?
Now you know who's in my top five?
I'm not going to say nothing right now.
Kobe Bryant.
Come on.
Oh, that's my top five. Argue with it.
Argue with it. I'd rather just take Maria Taylor's response. Ooh. What Paul Pierce did was leave out LeBron James, and this has left everyone apoplectic. Now, let me tell you something from the outset. LeBron James is in my top five players of all time. I have him at number three. I think the Jordan versus LeBron debate is totally manufactured to give us content. I think Jordan is unassailably the top player of all time. I don't think LeBron James is number two. I think that is the criminally underrated Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. But I do have LeBron at number three, followed by Bill Russell and Magic Johnson. That would be my top five players, but Paul Pierce feels differently. And everybody is pointing and laughing, pointing and mocking. Very few are actually doing any arguing. Because somehow, some way, Paul Pierce has found his way into the unpopular crowd. I have liked Paul from day one since he was on ESPN because I think he's interesting. I think he has independent thought. I think he says things that aren't simpatico with the groupthink cool kids. And for that, he must be punished. The other day I saw this thing on Twitter. It had a who's worse question. It had four pictures. It had Paul Pierce, Ryan Hollins, Max Kellerman, and me. It hurt my feelings a little bit, but I also thought Paul doesn't belong. And what more, this opinion of Paul's that LeBron James is not a top five player of all time, I think it's wrong, but I think it's defensible. I don't think it's crazy that he left LeBron James out. I think once you get to 3, 4, 5, and 6, you can have a serious debate. I disagree with Paul that Kobe Bryant is that sixth member of the debate. I think it's Wilt Chamberlain. But between Bill Russell, an all-time champion who could not be stopped, who handled Wilt Chamberlain himself, who was like an alien dropped down from a foreign planet to play on the NBA decades ahead of his time, Magic Johnson, who was the centerpiece of an 80s dynasty that racked up championships, and LeBron James, you could have a legitimate debate. And it's possible that LeBron James finds his position on the losing end of that debate. But no one can see that. They just mock Paul. Or maybe it's because they think he has a personal investment. Kendrick Perkins, who I like a lot, was on Hoopstreams, and he explained what he thought was behind Paul's opinion. Listen to this.
Here's a backstory to this real quick, and then you could understand why LeBron is not on Paul's list. We're playing in Columbus, Ohio, my rookie season, against the Cleveland Cavaliers, right? Now, you know when LeBron was coming into the league, he was getting a lot of heat from players. Oh, he's not going to do that to us, the chosen one. Wait till he play against grown men. So his first preseason game is against Paul Pierce. So Paul is talking noise to the bench, right? He's talking big noise to the Cavs bench. And they're sitting over there, Bron and them, they all sitting over there, Drew Gooden and everybody. So Paul actually spits over there at the bench, right? The ultimate disrespect, okay? It end up, yes, it end up turning up. I mean, after the game, I mean, both teams were meeting in the back. We had the guys was ready to fight. We had to hold people back. Like, it went up from there. Ever since that moment.
And it was a clear spit. It wasn't a Rajon Rondo spit?
No. It was a clear spit. Ever since that moment, LeBron James and Paul Pierce hate each other. They don't speak to each other.
It may be personal. Maybe that's Paul's motivation. But that wouldn't make it wrong. I think it is wrong. But I think it's a defensible opinion. I think LeBron James is closer to five than he is to one in a top five players of all time NBA players list. And I think Paul Pierce has just found himself somehow, some way, outside the cool kid circle and easy to mock. And I guess it's no surprise I like Paul Pierce, even when I think he's wrong. I asked you earlier what or who is the most disrespected quarterback of the last two decades? Our buddy Dan Orlovsky's on a road trip right now. He's listening from his car. He's texting in answers. He's asked me if it's Matt Stafford. He's asked me if it's Ben Roethlisberger. No, it's neither. Who's the most disrespected quarterback of the last 20 years? Let's run that by Field Yates next on The Will Cain Show.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
Man, the names are pouring in. I ask who the most disrespected quarterback of the last two decades is, and I've heard Ben Roethlisberger, Matt Stafford, Russell Wilson, but I haven't heard the right name. And no, it's not Dak Prescott. But I will tell you who the most disrespected quarterback over the last two decades is in the NFL, coming up in just a moment on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Plus, you know, tomorrow is homework day. Draft our movies for the weekend. And Nuno, shockingly, won last week. So it's his turn to pick. And no surprise, he's having trouble narrowing down what a category means. What exactly are cult movie hits? We'll define that for Nuno coming up in just a little bit here on the Will Cain Show. But joining me now is ESPN NFL Insider. He's co-host of the Fantasy Focused Football Podcast. And let us never forget, co-host of Fantasy Football Now. It's Field Yates on the phone lines. What's up, Field?
Will, how are you, my man?
I'm good. Let's do a couple things first. I would just like, you're a very learned individual. You are very precise in your speaking and your word choice. Would you define, and maybe even give me an example or two, of what a cult movie hit would be?
I would think that my definition would be a cult movie would be something that is interesting or compelling to a small, very small group of people, right? So people that share a common interest. I'm trying to think of a good cult movie. I feel like there's got to be a movie that, not a surfer movie like, that is sort of tangentially about surfing. I'm talking about a movie that is about like the history and the specifics of how surfing became popular. That to me would be a cult movie.
Well, one of those would be Step Into Liquid, which is an awesome movie. I would define a cult movie like this, Field. I'd say a popular movie or a passionately loved movie by a certain crowd, but not a big blockbuster, not widely mass media hit, rather one that a smaller group of people really defend to the death. Like, I think the ultimate cult movie would be The Big Lebowski. That's a cult
Ooh.
Movie, and I'm in the cult all the way.
So am I. If that's a cult movie, I'm all the way in on Big Lebowski.
Yes. Yes. Reverend Jones, where's the Kool-Aid? I'd like some more. I love that movie. All right, the second thing I want to ask you is this, man. So I don't know if you saw this because it was kind of popular on Twitter, and it's based upon one advanced metric. So here's the thing. I don't want to over-index the metric, which is expected points added over the course of a career for a quarterback. But this was what I saw, and it measured a time period from 2000 to 2020. And in looking at it, I was looking at all the quarterbacks over the last 20 years who've really contributed legitimate points to their team. And there was one name on there that I thought, man, this dude just does not get enough respect. He is one of the better quarterbacks over a long period of time, and you rarely, if ever, hear his name mentioned. I think, therefore, he's one of the most disrespected quarterbacks of the last decade, Field. Now, I want to ask you who that is.
Do I guess who it is?
Yes, I'm going to let you have a guess, and I'm also going to give you a clue, okay? I'm going to give you a big clue, a process of elimination. Dan Orlovsky has texted me, is it Matt Stafford? No. He has texted me, is it Ben Roethlisberger? I said no. Who, by the way, I don't think gets full credit for how good he's been. Listeners have been tweeting in, is it Russell Wilson? Many believe, because he's never even gotten one MVP vote, it should be Russ. No, I think Russ is getting a lot of credit currently. I think there's somebody else that gets less than all of those guys. So what would your guess be, knowing it's not any of those three?
My guess was going to be Matthew Stafford, for the record. I really thought it was going to be Stafford. How about Kirk Cousins along those lines? Could it be Kirk Cousins, a player that has certainly won on the bank account side? But I think sometimes in the court of public opinion, it's far more divisive
that his resume suggests he should be.
It is not Kirk Cousins.
Oh, man.
In fact, even though he's on a road trip, somehow Orlovsky has managed to weave his way into our show today. I had a conversation with him the other day, and I saw somebody else mention this, Field. Cousins really does benefit from a friendly offense in Minnesota, one that makes his job really easy, heavy play action, doesn't have to do a lot of quick defensive reads, coverage reads at the line because of that. I don't know if that diminishes what Cousins accomplished or not, but it does kind of give you some insight into how he's viewed inside of league circles. The one quarterback that I really think this field now, I'm guilty of it too. I want to make this clear. Like, I don't think I've given this dude credit. And I think it's fascinating we haven't mentioned his name. I think the most disrespected quarterback of the last 10 years is Dak Prescott.
I thought I heard during the tease that it actually was
kidding.
Not Dak Prescott.
I just wanted to make everybody's head explode for 10 seconds. No, the most disrespected quarterback of the last decade has to be Matt Ryan of the Atlanta Falcons.
Oh, my gosh. How did I not think of that one? That's a great answer. Great answer right there.
He was Offensive Rookie of the Year. He's been an MVP. He had, in that MVP season, what was it? Was it 5,000 yards? I know it was 38 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. He was 28-3 up in the Super Bowl. And on this one metric field, expected points added for a quarterback over a career, I'm telling you, man, I think he's now surpassed Romo. I think he's surpassed Roethlisberger. He's really up there. He's 34 and he has a lot of productive years left, you would think. And I don't think people ever think of Ryan as a top 5, maybe the low end towards top 10. What do you think?
Yeah, it's a really interesting point. So I was working on a project that we have that's going to be unveiled a little bit later on, I think this month, maybe even next month, on ESPN.com, and Matt Ryan was part of the project, Will. And if you look at it, where he stands right now, and use relatively, in my opinion, conservative projections, he's going to finish top 5 all-time in passing yards and probably passing touchdowns as well, which, you know, some people would say those are stats that need a little more context, and I would agree with you that you definitely need to throw some context behind passing stats other than just the raw numbers. But I mean, 50,000 passing yards already for Matt Ryan, and probably going to hit somewhere closer to like 60,000 or 65,000 by the time it's all said and done. Like, the guy is going to put up some historic Canton level conversation numbers. And you're absolutely right. So a couple things on Matt Ryan is that I think, and I've spoken about this with people before, is that, one bad loss can really stain a reputation, and that's probably fair to a degree, but like Matt Ryan for a lot of people is going to be viewed fairly or unfairly as the quarterback of the team that had a 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl and did not win. And that's going to be something that he's going to have to carry as a burden until or unless they win a Super Bowl. But you're right. He is highly underappreciated, and maybe it's because they have not had consistent playoff success, or maybe it's because Matt Ryan has kind of been understated. There's never been a prolonged holdout or a difficult contract negotiation. Maybe it's something with more of the team success. I don't know the specific answer, but I'm with you. Matt Ryan is probably now at the point where he is underappreciated.
All right, I'm down to about a couple minutes with Field Yates, ESPN's NFL insider here, but I want to run the first two conversations we had to start the show today by Field. I contended two things, and I'd love your feedback. Number one, I do believe Rivers is one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. For what it's worth, he also ranks really highly on this expected points added over a career. And number two, even though Rivers is, I expect, going to have a successful season with the Colts, his impact on them this season will be less than the impact of Brady on the Bucks. What do you say to those two things?
I agree wholeheartedly on both of them. Phillip Rivers has kept the Chargers afloat, and I understand that they've had some dizzying losses, Will. No question about that. No team has endured more heartbreaking losses than the Chargers during the tenure of Phillip Rivers. But I don't know that anybody has dealt with, it feels like, just bad injury luck amongst his teammates than Phillip Rivers. He has turned players into stars. He has kept the Chargers interesting, or kept the Chargers interesting, for 15 years, in my opinion. One of the all-time greats, but I'm with you. Tom Brady means a lot more to the Bucs and will have a bigger impact on their team this year than Phillip Rivers does. The Colts are going to be good. I really believe that, but I think Tom Brady changes everything. It really does. I mean, not that jersey sales are what matters, but he's got 5 of the top 10 most popular selling jerseys. He has not even practiced with the Bucs as of yet. Incredible.
I talked about that a little bit earlier, including that weird color that we're calling pewter, but swear to you, looks like a fudgesicle box.
I'm with you. I don't know. The color, the Pantone's not really my strength in general, but that one was weird to me, Will.
Listen, don't let anybody ever tell you that the Pantones aren't your strength. Every day, every weekend, I saw you come in with various combinations of pastels. You know you're a fashion jock. You know you didn't like it when we had a top five most fashionable dudes at ESPN, and you didn't end up in the top five. You got mad at me. It's the closest I've ever seen Phil Yates to being upset on that Sunday when we told you it was Lewis Riddick, it was Jay Williams, and you were like, you sneered at a couple of those people that weren't in ahead of you.
You know something, Will? I thought about going silent on that show that day. There are certain things that rile me up. Not many things, but certain things. And you kind of you touched the nerve that day. But all's well that ends well. We got through it. Hopefully provided an entertaining show. And I'm just going to work my hardest to make it into the updated version of the top five for whenever that is released, whether it's next month, next year. I'll be ready.
Okay. We'll try a less self-deprecating approach. Always talk up your Pantones. Field Yates here on the Will Cain Show. See you, man.
Thanks, bud.
All right. Coming up, I am increasingly optimistic we're going to have sports. I have been pessimistic that it would include fans in the stands, but I'm getting more realistic that we're coming back and it's going to be full bore. We're ripping the Band-Aid off this baby because we have to. That's coming up on The Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Listen to The Will Cain Show and you're ahead of the curve. I say, everybody freaks out about, says I'm being a hot taker, and time passes, and because the world moves like lemmings and only looks through rearview mirrors, not windshields, they catch up to me.
More from Will Cain, coming up.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
This is the Will Cain Show.
Drew in Ontario. What's up, Drew?
You always reference the Lebowski, and you never get any of your references right, so it makes it questionable if you've ever seen the movie.
You know, that's just like your opinion, man.
And any of your points are questionable after that.
Greatest cult movie of all time, The Big Lebowski. Tomorrow's our homework. And as the week's champion, Nuno gets to pick the category for our movie genre. He's toying with cult movies. But Mike A. and I think he has some real problems in defining what a cult movie is. He's talking about movies like Goonies. That was a very popular movie in its time. Cult movies aren't big blockbusters, aren't widely accepted. They're only appreciated in retrospect. We'll get back to that coming up in a moment here on The Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. I have told you that I believe sports' return is inevitable. It's not even about optimism anymore. It's just about inevitability. And I think two things drive it. Two concepts, two words. Intolerance and money. People will be intolerant of their current situation. Have you been out right now? Gone to the mall? Gone shopping? Do those places look empty or do they look busy? People are done with this. Now, we're not playing the should game. We're playing the is game. You can judge others. You can say they shouldn't be doing that, but they will do that. Because human beings cannot stay cooped up and separated from their normal lives for an ill-defined, indefinite period of time. That's just inevitable. They will be intolerant of it. And number two is because of money. We're committing economic suicide. We can have and should have a debate about whether or not it's suicide one way or suicide the other. Or we can debate whether or not it's tying a tourniquet around your neck to stop a nosebleed. But our economy is dying. Unemployment's reaching 30%. Millions upon millions upon millions upon millions of people unemployed. I'm sure you know some of them. I know that I do. Furloughed or let go. Our economy is dying. New York City is dying. And something's going to have to happen because sports will die as well. Here's an article. I believe it's from ESPN.com, but I wanted to read you this one part. And I quote now, in a multi-billion dollar industry, fewer than half of FBS athletic departments have financial reserves in place that could be used during this type of crisis. According to a recent survey by Lead One Association, the professional organization that represents ADs at 130 FBS schools, the survey said that more than 141% of Power 5 and 26% of Group 5 departments have confirmed they have that kind of reserve to cover this kind of situation. But you know what? They're writing that wrong. We're reading that wrong. We're hearing that wrong. What it's really saying is 59% of Power 5 schools and almost 75% of Group 5 schools do not have a reserve sufficient to cover the economic damage of not just foregoing football, but foregoing football without fans in the stands. You're going to have it because we have to have it because of intolerance, but also because of money, because it will be economic suicide without it. And we're probably going to have sports with fans in the stands. I've thought maybe there's some Goldilocks situation. Maybe we get sports back, but we don't have fans back. Maybe not too hot, maybe not too cold. But increasingly, I am believing it's going to be a letter rip situation. I am not debating should with you. I'm telling you what I think is. We can come back in October, November, decide if I was off or I was on. But I want you to listen to this from Ohio State AD Gene Smith.
We have played a little bit with the social distancing concept, and we know that that probably would take us down south of 30,000 fans in the stands, actually closer to 20 to 22. So we played with that a little bit as a framework to start as we move forward and think about what we ultimately allowed to do.
That's Gene Smith, Ohio State's AD, on a conference call, already trying to figure it out. Fans in the stands. We're coming back, and we're probably coming back full bore. Hey, I've been hanging out with people having big, long-form conversations. I did with Marcus Spears. It's up on our podcast feed. I also sat down with Stanford's head coach, David Shaw. What an impressive dude. But I pressed him, because that's always what I have to do. I said, hey, is the Pac-12 falling behind? Is the Pac-12 not as good as the other Power 5 schools? And he had some pushback about scheduling and the SEC, I think. You got to hear that coming up on The Will Cain Show.
Thank you for listening to The Will Cain Podcast. You can listen to The Will Cain Show live weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The Will Cain Podcast.